Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody. It's another Box Fresh episode of Is It Just Me? The podcast where we talk about the nonsense that keeps me, one of your hosts, Joe Elvin, and him, James Williams, awake at night.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Have you been worrying?
Oh, I'm always worrying. You know me, a born warrior.
Yeah, gold medalist.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, no, officially your Tuesday starts here, people. Yeah. We are in your ears.
With Is It Just Me? And well, today, you know, as ever, we're joined by a much wiser, certainly more glamorous head.
Although that doesn't take much, does it?
To be no, honest. Quite frankly. It's former model and now stellarly, is that a word? Stunningly successful, successful nutritionist, Rosemary Ferguson.
Hey.
Yay. Yeah, give yourself a little cheer. That's what we like. Yeah.
And also, I'm just going to say right now, Rosemary, I'm still dreaming about yours and Gizzy's burger. It was so good.
That sounds rude.
Well, you know, we start from a very low base.
Yeah, exactly.
No, sorry. For those
go lower.
Is that the filth burger?
Filth. Yeah. For those that don't know, Rosemary and Gizzy produced the most incredible plant-based burger called Filthy Burger, wasn't it? And you had a hugely successful run. I was actually there the day the Beckhams were there. Didn't see them, but I literally turned up in their slipstream. Again, that sounds a bit rude, but
they don't eat carbs, do they?
Well, they were there en masse, and
they loved it.
And honestly, I walked in, so I took my friends in. They were a bit like, where are we going? Why are we going all this way? Because we live in South London. Why are we going all this way for a veggie burger? I'm going, trust me, it's going to be good.
Didn't invite me.
We got...
Just saying.
Orcs. We got there and the queue was out the door and they were like going, what the fuck is going on? And then we saw the Beckhams on their Insta stories. But it was, they'd ran out of buns.
Oh, yes. There was quite a lot of queuing and quite a lot of like, you ran out and... But running out is better than...
Oh, gosh. Hello. Yeah.
It was good. It was fun. So we will be back.
You better be.
We will be back. We're just trying to find a permanent site.
Yeah.
Bricks and mortar. Yes, we're looking at some this afternoon, actually.
Southeast London's very nice this time of year. Yeah.
Southeast London's number two on the list.
Oh,
good.
We're going for West One first.
But, really?
I think.
Oh, come on, those West One bastards have got everything.
I know.
Oh.
I know,
and it's really expensive, Rosemary.
I know, actually. Yeah. So, yes.
Come down to cheap, dirty Southeast London.
Get a nice pop-up in Brixton.
You can use my kitchen.
Do you live next to me?
Yeah, pretty much.
There's a South bias to this podcast, let's put it that way. But, you know, you guys were massively ahead of the curve. Because I know that's not just something you've been like, you know, it feels like, I guess, the whole plant-based thing has become very, hasn't it? Like, you know, everyone's jumping on that bandwagon. But you guys have been developing this for a long, long time.
Yeah, we did our first pop-up with it over a year and a half ago at the Tate Modern. And then we worked on it before that for a year. I mean, it's just been taking a long time to get it so that it's consistent. You know, it's things like you need the burger to be the same every time, which is no mean feat.
No.
We're still working on it. So, yeah, I know.
It's now, very, very good. Worth the wait.
And I'm fascinated because you're now a qualified nutritionist. That's always been your passion behind the scenes, even when you were a top, top international model. Mm. And so what philosophy do you live by? Obviously, you've got brilliant genes. You look great, you've got great skin, you're in great shape, but how much of that do you contribute to your diet and what you put into your body?
I think probably quite a lot. I mean, I'm naturally quite athletic, I suppose. I think muscly was a word that was used once by an agent.
Yeah, sinewy.
I think they were saying tone it down a bit.
Oh.
I'm naturally quite muscly and broad. So, you know, so, and I've always done sports. So,
yeah,
there's that. And then I think nutrition definitely plays a part. I've taken care of myself nutrition-wise in times when I haven't taken care of myself in other areas, you know. But and I think that that does play a big part, actually, because I don't think I'm naturally, my skin's better because of what I eat, for sure.
Right. And what do you think if, okay, so, you know, I don't think I'm unhealthy, but I could definitely do better. What's the advice you would give? What's one thing that everyone can do for their diet that you think makes a really massive difference?
Well, at the moment, I'm on a snacking mission for women my age. So I'm in my mid-40s. And so snacking is the thing that it really contributes to the fat around the middle. Yeah, that's what I talk a lot about.
I actually pitched an idea for the paper I work on. Is to me, snacking's going to become the new smoking.
It's my mission at the moment, because it makes such a big difference, because it's your insulin. I mean, it's to be really boring, but you know, it's not boring, but might be if you're not a nutrition nerd.
I think everyone's interested in diet and nutrition. Yeah.
Well, if you keep on eating throughout the day, you're stimulating your insulin all day long. You're never letting your insulin take a break. As long as your insulin's in play in your body, which is a hormone, as long as it's in play, you're going to store fat. Yeah. You're going to just store fat and it's going to go on.
That's really interesting. Like, I definitely remember there was a turn, wasn't there, where suddenly you were told, oh, little and often was the way to eat. Because obviously, you know, our parents, for example, were brought up on the square meals
three meals a day.
You know, and obesity wasn't so much of an issue back then.
And I must admit, I am somebody who panics if I'm hungry.
Yeah, and I think there was definitely a time when you're younger, snacking, when you're growing, if for people with blood sugar issues, little and often is better. There are times when it is right, but I think for general people, I think giving your body and your digestion a break in between meals, and also actually it's what you snack on too, because snacks tend to be sugary, carby, so they cause an insulin response. Mm. So then that's the problem. You know, if you're going to have like a hard boiled egg, it might not be so bad because it's not going to create an insulin.
What's your feeling on things? Cause I hate to say, there's always something new, isn't it, in the whole world of wellness and, you know, well-being. And the thing that my friends are talking about a lot now is intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Obviously, where you basically only eat, I think some of my friends are doing, where they only eat for an 8-hour period a day.
Yeah.
I guess it's a kind of take on the 5-2, isn't it, basically, which was the big trend a few years ago. What's your sort of feeling on that as a nutritionist?
Well, so for me, it doesn't work. Right. I'm actually a fan of intermittent fasting. I think intermittent fasting is a really great way to... We eat too much, basically. I mean, you know,
we have to be careful saying that.
But there's so much available all the time. If you think you're like, food waste. What do I have for breakfast?
And food waste. The big thing now is food waste, is how much we are buying and not using.
It's also something that becomes really, I noticed it when I became a parent, you just have food amnesia. Yeah. You forget. I think, yeah, I can have that. I haven't eaten all day. And then I forgot the Kit Kat I had at midday. I honestly do.
Oh, I believe that's called a snaccident. Snaccident, where you forget that snack you've inhaled. Yeah. But also I think, it's hard, isn't it? Because I think what also happens is we don't really, it's a bit of a sliding scale hunger. Mm. It's really hard. And I think to actually remind yourself, what does true hunger feel like?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's often what you, because people tend to go, I just fancy something. You're not actually hungry. No. You're just bored often
but
as well.
But I mean, that's the thing about intermittent fasting, actually. It's a really good point, is that the problem is that people get really, really hungry and then they eat trash.
Yeah.
So that, and for me, intermittent fasting doesn't work. But for some people, it's absolutely brilliant. If they do it right and they feel good on it, then I think, you know, there's a 16, I have to do my maths now, 16-8, and then there's the 18-6, which is 6 hours of eating, which might be a bit punchy for some people. But I think it's about finding what works for you. And it's also about not depriving yourself, because relationships with food can get a bit weird when you start going, oh, I'm not eating all morning. No, I'm not going to touch a thing.
Well, then maybe you just become fixated on it.
Yeah.
Then it breeds negativity around food, which is what I spend quite a lot of time in my clinic fighting, because it's this orthorexia sort of type.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I don't understand, because I think, you know, surely it's about your choices, isn't it? And my feeling is the people that I know that are doing things like intermittent fasting, or even colleagues of ours that were doing the 5-2 a few years ago, they would do their 2 days of fasting religiously, and then the 5 days they were literally chucking anything in their mouth.
I used to call it posh bulimia. I'll eat nothing but a lettuce leaf for 2 days a week, and then I'm going to drink beer and eat burgers.
Yeah.
You know, so that for me is, that's where the problem lies in these things, that it can breed negative relationships with food.
Yeah.
And I think if you feel well and you're happy and you're enjoying food and not obsessing about it, fine. But if it's becoming like you're clawing your way to 2 o'clock when you can eat whatever, you know, whatever it is you're going to eat at 2 o'clock, then I don't think that's, that for me isn't great.
No. And so, going back to your, what would be, I know it's hard because there's not like a one size fits all, is there, for everyone? But do you have like a general, like, because I mean, I guess I always believe the thing that, you know, if you can, if you essentially prepare your own food or if you buy fresh ingredients, that's, again, surely you can't be going too far wrong if you're basically not going down the process path.
I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good rule of thumb. If you buy fresh and you make it yourself, you know exactly what's in it. And then, and actually when you know what's in it, and also you don't have available to you all the chemicals that you know, processed food does that keep it processed. So by just by that very fact, it's going to be a much healthier offering. And then I suppose I really believe that you should enjoy food, but it's about everything in moderation. And I know that's really boring. You know, there are times when a quick fix, like doing a fast, can get you back on track if you're feeling, but not weight loss, because you will lose weight, but it won't stay off.
Yeah.
But you know, to get your body back, to get you back on track and get you back on the right path. Sometimes it's nice to do like a 3-day juice fast, but to do it as a quick weight loss plan is not.
I honestly can't imagine doing a 3-day juice fast. I think nobody would want to be my friend.
No. Well, I mean, I remember that when we worked with people that did the 5-2, and on the 2 days, you did not want to go near them. No. I mean, literally the hanger, the bubbling.
Too short.
Oh, yeah. And it affected their, I would argue, productivity.
I mean, I hope there's not many people walking around intermittent fasting and driving, for instance.
No. No, it's, but it is, we talk about food a lot. On this podcast,
I like food.
I mean, we do a lot of diet, but I think as well,
I think it's a really big thing, and and also it can really, like, going back to your very first question, the way you feel is really reliant on what you put in your body.
Yeah,
I think
definitely,
you know, and not even just psychologically, you know, like psychologically you can feel all pleased with yourself if you've been healthy, but actually physically, energetically, if you're eating well, you feel well.
Took me into my 30s to make that connection.
Yeah.
It's like, why do I feel run down and sick and get colds all the time? Could it be that I'm eating sausage sandwiches for breakfast, a cheese sandwich for lunch, and cheese pasta for dinner every day? Could it possibly be?
Something linked. Yeah. You know, what's mad about us is we don't, the thing that we put in, the fuel we put in, doesn't lots of people don't go, oh, that might have something to do with how I feel on a day-to-day.
I did not
basis.
Make that connection at all until I was into my
30s. Even the medical profession, they don't talk about it. You know, if you're diabetic, you can eat as much sugar as you like. We'll just give you more insulin. It's nuts.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
So, but if people wanted to find out more about the kind of work you do, Rosemary, where's the best place for them to go and get all info about you?
Oh, you can go to my website.
Hey.
If you want.
How modern.
How modern, I know. I'm on the line, as my mother said.
On the line.
I'm on the line. So you can go to that, rosemaryferguson.co.uk.
Great. And I'm assuming on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, rosemaryferguson_.
Great.
Yes.
Well, and please do get Filthy Burgers back up and running.
We will.
The world needs more of it. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm glad
and,
you like them.
Oh no, it was fantastic. Brilliant. Me and the Beckhams. I mean, very good company.
Yes. Not me though, I wasn't invited.
Next time, Joe.
Yes, you can come.
This reminds me of that time when I worked with James and I found out after we'd all lost our jobs that apparently there'd been a glamour favourite pie pub. I never knew about it the whole time I worked there.
That's heartbreaking.
I know.
I think we went once. I mean, you know, but it wasn't plant based, Joe. So you know, your body's a temple, so you wouldn't want a bar of that. You know.
That's really thoughtful.
Exactly. Yeah. This, however, has got your name written all over. And your husband's a vegetarian. He'll love it.
He is.
So anyway. Well, Rosemary, thank you for joining us. And as you're aware, you know, we've now
she's not going yet.
No, she hasn't. I said she's got to get into the really serious business now. Of arguing about some very silly, ridiculous stuff. Are you ready to do it?
Yes, I am.
Great, let's do it. Okay, first up to this week then, Rosemary and Joe. Is it just me who hates the idea, let alone the reality, of team building exercises? Because basically, for me, just the phrase team building, it's basically enforced fun or enforced mingling.
I'm not sure it's meant to be fun though, is it?
Is it
team
not?
Building?
Well,
it makes
no.
me cringe. It makes my teeth go on. It's just a thought.
Yeah, but anything forced, and that's the problem. It's forced mingling, forced bonding. And I think...
And it's also, I don't know, what are we talking about here? Because I've been on a few company retreats in my time where the team building is pretty much the goal is to kind of break you down and build you up again. So put you with a bunch of people that you know a little bit, but not massively, into a really stressful, almost impossible goal orientated situation. Like, here's an egg, two straws. And I'm not really making this up. Couple of bits of wood, you need to make a raft and get it over the other side of that river before any of the other team people do. And then you know, and you do, you learn things about each other, mostly what a pain in the ass you all are in your own individual ways.
Yeah.
And you feel like your whole career is dependent on this. You feel like they're going to be secretly watching who's the worst person at this, and that person's next in line next time we need to make some redundancies.
It's going straight back to HR.
Yeah.
You suck at making a raft.
And so everybody goes into this thing feeling on display, exposed, stressed, out of their comfort zone, on edge. I mean, stop me when I get
terrifying.
To something good.
I mean, so the thing is, I don't work in an office, so I've never had to do that. But when you go to conferences and things, they try and make everybody like do yoga to get, you know, or whatever. I mean, and you're just standing at your chair going, I just want to sit here and absorb the conference really anonymously. I don't want to join in with my neighbours.
But everybody wants to be anonymous.
That's the other, that's a really good point.
Is that modern day? Like, we just all want to do our own thing and have our head down looking at
our phone? No, I think most people, weirdly, even extroverts can be introverts. And I think, you know, very few people, I mean, I'm quite a confident, assertive person, I like to think. But, you know, the idea of audience participation, enforced, if somebody
starts. Do you remember our enforced Beyonce dance class?
How could I forget it? But I mean, but, you know,
I honestly thought that was going
to
be fine.
No, oh my God, I don't know how you... I knew that was going to be awful from the second I heard the words dance like Beyonce with your teammates in Lycra.
Seriously, we were all forced to go. Yeah.
That sounds awful. Yeah.
But I mean, I've talked about this. This sounds so ungrateful. I remember once I was very lucky, you know, I got invited to a Madonna concert and free tickets from the record company, worked for a music magazine at the time, invited to go and see the show. And I remember me and my friend, I think it was at Earl's Court. So we got in, so we kept being sort of, you know, frog march further and further to the front of the stage, to the point whereby we were led to the middle front row seat. And I literally sat there, and I literally turned to my friend. My friend was all excited. I literally went, I actually can't sit in these seats. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I can't sit this close to Madonna. This is really awkward. She can actually see me. She can actually see my reaction. I'm virtually on the stage. This is like being part of the crew. No, I can't do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, I really can't sit in these seats. I actually got really clammy and uncomfortable. And then I forced him. We walked four rows back or five rows back. And I went to these people, would you mind swapping seats with me? And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, the front row. They're like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
And I know
you just want to sit in the crowd and enjoy it.
I wanted to be anonymous.
You wanted to dance like Madonna was not watching.
Yes, exactly. Yes, but does that make me really weird? But that's how much I don't like that kind of enforced.
Yeah.
You know,
just being on display, you just want to be able to just relax and just absorb it how you want to. So when I'm at a conference, I just want to be able to sit there.
I bet you that there's quite a few HR managers right now listening to this thinking, you people, this is so wonderful. It's great for team building. And I don't know, but I've never found it to be. But yeah.
Is it great for team? I mean, when you've finished one of your things, do you feel like...
Well, you probably you've bonded at least through you've gone through something that none of you wanted to do together. So I guess there's that.
But I think that's just work.
Yeah.
I think the genuine bonding moments come from, you know, when you and I used to work on Women of the Year. I mean, Women of the Year awards were so high octane stress for me and Joe. But we've got so many great stories and battle scars that brought us closer together as a result of that. Yeah. That's a genuine organic team building exercise. I think if anything forced, if it's not real and not organic, it never really works.
It feels like you're being treated like a child. I think that's what it is. Suddenly you're powerless and I feel like a child. I feel really like uncomfortable. But I'm like, I'm a grown woman and I wouldn't choose to do this. Otherwise, I
suppose sometimes as a boss, I feel like there's an onus on me to build team spirit.
Morale.
But I'd be lying if I said I kind of had any fail-safe ways that I thought I was good at that. Do you know what I mean? I feel like, but then, and I suppose what stops me going, come on everybody, let's go for a drink, is that feeling. Well, I don't want everybody to feel forced into a room to have fun with each other.
That's true. I was away with my team. We were doing a job in the south of France, and it was a great team. So we had four assistants who were all roughly the same age, And then I was suddenly like, and I was saying, no, you guys go out for dinner. And then I did exactly that. I was like, oh my God, I'm actually telling them that they have to go out to dinner and you have to go out and have a good time to celebrate the end of the job. And so then, you know, I backed off. I was like, no, you just do whatever you want because you don't, yeah, you know, it is a tricky one. You're trying to do the right thing.
And I don't mean to make you feel even worse, there'll be somebody who's going, well, why didn't she want to come out with us?
I know. Yeah. And then you're like, I'm trying to put a boundary down.
Nobody wants to go out with the boss.
Know, you want them to relax and let their hair down.
Yeah. 20 years younger than me. Yeah. Imagine if I let my head down, they'd be like, oh God, here she goes.
Also, I think we need to establish we're not being the Grinches here saying, you know, I mean, we're not saying cancel Christmas office drinks, all that kind of thing. I think those things are really important. I think if you work in a team, it's really important.
And then it's a choice, surely, isn't it? If you go to the office or
but
do you
no
have
raft
to
building exercises.
No raft building or, I don't know.
No
yeah.
conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, jumping around at your desk. If you're at a conference, just let you sit there. You don't need to dance to release the stress.
But I was at a conference once and they had a guest speaker. And I really did feel like a child when he said, okay, so now is the time for the audience to ask questions. And if you don't have any questions, I'm just going to point at you and demand a question. And he did that to us.
Oh my God. But see, I was going to say that's again, going back to the anonymity thing, you know, whenever you have that Q&A, there's always that slight bum clenching moment, isn't there? Any questions from the audience? And there's literally like, you can hear a pin drop. And then no doubt there's somebody who's been planted in the audience asking the one question.
Yeah.
No one likes to raise their head above the parapet.
You know what though? When one person answers a question, then you're like, oh God, here we go. Opens the floodgates and then people start. So people do want to ask questions.
Maybe.
But if you've been on the stage going, anybody got any questions? And nobody's got any questions, you think, well, everybody hated this then and they just can't wait to get out of here.
I'm a big fat bore. It's like, you know, I mean, literally, you're like.
So I'm basically never happy.
But absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, I'm more for genuine team. And like I said, congratulating people on doing a job well done, putting some money behind the bar or taking them out for dinner. That's more natural and organic. It's just that enforced thing. I feel the same way as I do when you go to like weddings and they don't sit you with your friends.
Well, I know.
When they sit you as complete strangers, you're like, why are you forcing me to talk to people I don't want to talk to? I want to talk to the people I know.
I know. And Auntie Nell doesn't want to sit next to my mates. No. You know, she wants to sit with all the old lot or, you know, or family.
Yeah, I'm torn on that because even when I have sat at things and thought, oh, I wanted to sit with them. Quite often I meet someone new and fun. So sometimes it is good to be pushed a little bit.
And I mean, there is that weirdness. I will say this. I mean, as somebody who has worked in lots of offices, well, not lots of offices, but predominantly in offices, you know, you do essentially get a little bit into your own little ghetto in your office. Mm. You sit with your people, you sit on your bank of desks, and you kind of know people, but you don't really get to know them. So there have been moments actually when you've gone and done those kind of conferences and you actually have ended up having a really good laugh with somebody you normally wouldn't say very much to on a day-to-day basis.
Thank God in these bleak economic times, no one's got budgets for conferences anymore. Hurrah!
Or for team building exercises.
Every cloud, guys.
Oh my God, it's a dying art.
Yeah, there's no PGL. There's no office PGL anymore.
Hell yeah. Love austerity.
So, Joan James, is it just me who goes crazy about screen time?
Ooh.
One of my poor children has been banned forever from using her phone on Monday.
It's not going to work. That's going to bite you right in the arm. Yeah,
it's not going to work at all. It drives me. It's like literally makes me see red.
See, we both have a 13-year-old, so I get it. I get it.
I mean, and the 19-year-old, I've told her she has to pay her own bills now because, well, she's 19 for a start. And if she wants to sit, but the 13-year-old is the one who just, and she gets in a bad mood. So we've tried to put in boundaries of like, okay, the phone needs to come down at 8 or.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's screen time now, which I can manage it and say, okay, you can have an hour of social media or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, always ends up in a bloody row.
It's really tough because it is messing with everyone's brains. And I think particularly young brains.
Yeah.
But when I am just as addicted as anybody else, I find it difficult. I try really hard to set that example at home. But I'm, you know, my job is dependent on being on that phone.
Yes,
so I can't lead by example.
The kids always say to me, they're like, yeah, but you're on your phone. And the thing that is bad is that I am on my phone when I shouldn't be. So because it's there, I like looking at emails out the side of my eye, which drives me mad. But I'm working. I think that's different. But they will literally look at Snapchat. And then when the Snapchat runs out, they'll go around and look at YouTube. And when they're not doing what they should be doing, or, you know, when the phones aren't there, the house is a much happier place. That's what I know.
Yeah.
We chat, we hang out, we have a much different vibe.
That's really interesting, though. We talked the other week to Monroe Bergdorf, actually, about TV and about how, you know, some people now say that they don't have a TV. I mean, do your kids watch TV or do they now pretty much
watch
their phones or watch their tablets?
They watch TV, but that's because there's YouTube on our TV because we've got another smart TV.
Yeah, so they can watch.
But they very rarely watch, like, say, they would never tune into it. We're obviously programmed to tune into a channel and just see what's on. They would just look up something or find something on demand.
But they do still watch things like Friends and stuff like that. They still sit and watch lazy TV and just, you know, so they do that, probably because their phones are blocked, banned or hidden.
Yeah.
But they do, yeah, they will.
It's a funny thing, because I haven't turned off, so I get the alert every week telling me about my screen time and it goes in one ear and out the other.
Oh, I hate it though. It's like a headmaster. It's like, yeah, all right. Whatever, you don't know what I was doing in that screen.
But also,
time.
I find it.
Maybe I was playing Munchkin's Mansion. Screw you! It's
but
my
also,
life.
It's a total con because my feeling about it is that I may get a good report saying, oh, your screen time was down 3 hours, whatever it is, a day or a week, and I'm like, well, that's because I did a job where I was based in an office, so I was looking at. Basically, on a desktop, I was using, looking at Instagram on the desktop or Twitter on the desktop. I wasn't using my phone. So it's not really accurate.
Screen time's going to push people onto the desktop, isn't it?
Yeah.
To change their stuff.
But I know when I've been using my phone too much because my elbow hurts. I've got an RSI injury from using my right thumb. Yeah. And if I've been using my phone too much, I can't lift the Sainsbury's bags. My elbow hurts that bad.
Oh, no.
I mean, it has
given the thumb a reason for being again, which is good. Every silver lining. The thumb is back.
Very strong thumb.
Very strong thumb,
thumb's
yes.
made a comeback. Strong comeback.
I know your feelings on this, Joe, but how, where do you stand on the whole digital detox thing then, Rosemary? Because...
Well,
that's another buzz term, isn't it now?
Yeah.
As you can tell, Joe's a massive fan.
Huge fan. Tell you what, I love turning my phone off when I go away. And out of office reply. See, for you guys, that's normal. For me, it's not because you're self-employed. You're always in the office. But I did it. I did it 2 years running now in August from when I've gone on my holiday and actually turned my phone off because otherwise I don't engage with my kids.
No.
In the same way as what you're saying, Joe, about, you know, screen time. You know, that means I'm just always... work, so actually I quite like it. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's great, I will be honest, why apologize for that?
My
beef with digital detox is the litany of freelance journalists who think they're the first person to ever come up with the idea to pitch you a story about writing about their digital detox.
that's harsh.
It's up there with, hey, I'm a dad and I've never seen anything in a women's magazine about what it's like to be a dad. It's like, I'm pretty sure we have done that 5 bazillion times.
Yes, that's true.
So yeah, world's first dads and digital detox, they're my two big freelance idea no-nos.
The one thing I will say, fair point,
I'm with you on that.
I mean, my friends tell me off a lot, so I'm probably too attached to my phone and I'm probably worse because I'm freelance as well, so I think in my head it's kind of justified me because I never know where my next job coming from. I've got to check my emails constantly to make sure I'm not getting I'm missing out on a job.
Got a podcast to plug.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm spinning lots of plates. So it's just another way of me being able to justify being addicted to my phone. So I know my friends hate it. But the one thing I will say is the reason I quite like going to the cinema, it is the one time actually in my life, because it is really bad, because the other day actually I finally watched Bohemian Rhapsody. I'd never gone into watching it and I thought, oh, I'll just download it on Sky.
It's all right, isn't it?
I actually really enjoyed it.
I liked it.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it did not deserve to get...
It's a nice update from Mamma Mia.
It's jolly.
House.
Yes.
Thank God.
But I watched that, but I did catch myself just out of sheer force of habit because I'm on my couch at home watching it, really enjoying the film. But of course, an alert comes through on my phone and I've opened it up and next thing you know, oh, I've missed a bit. I'm rewinding the film. So I've basically kind of ruined the sort of flow of the film. And I think that's the beauty of the cinema. You go into it, that you know, you sit there and you have no distractions and you watch something. Mm. And I guess... It is. That's the only time I would ever technically do any kind of digital detox.
If only everybody else in the cinema shared that vision of the cinema.
No, that's true. I mean, woman that took a phone call in the cinema I was in not that long ago.
Oh, no.
I mean, really?
In the bin.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I mean, the antisocial aspects of phones, it drives me insane.
Well, I am really bad. I mean, I do notice I'm sitting, I'm sitting opposite somebody having a coffee and just going, just 1 second, let me just, and then I'm like, what? You
I know we all do it, but it's like people who think they can walk on the street and read their phone.
Yeah, I do that.
People who think it's fine to take a call in the cinema.
Yeah.
No, or the theatre.
That's not
but also,
yeah. I mean, theatre, really, they get quite cross in the theatre.
Well, quite.
Oh, well, they tell you off, the actors. Yeah. I quite like that.
Yeah. I quite like the theatre crowd. I mean, not that I'm a big theatre guy, but whenever I've been, if anybody gets caught with their phone,
I think it should be as socially unacceptable as getting your dick out in the theatre. I've mentioned this before.
I think the theatre might find the dick out in the theatre more acceptable. Yeah.
It's less intrusive in a dark space.
I mean, I'm sure. In Equius, it's actually a scene in the play to get your dick out.
It's thoroughly embraced.
Did you say Equius? Equus?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't, don't take me as the oracle on all things theatre.
Yeah. He's too busy focusing on other things to learn the title.
What I tell you what I did try and do to sort of curb my, you know, it's all very well going about the 13-year-olds, is just what I try and do, and then I forget and try again, is to do emails first thing in the morning, at lunch, and do you know why I started doing this? Is because at Easter I went to Scotland. There was no service. It was actually heaven. At first you go, I haven't got any service. What am I going to do? It's really stressful. I've got things to do. Then you realise it's a long bank holiday weekend. Everybody's off.
Yeah.
And then so what we do is we travel into Campbelltown. And when I was there, I would do an hour's work because I did have to do some things. And then I'd go back and then we'd go back. You know, so I was doing an hour a day and it was genius. I'd spent an hour. Yeah. I wasn't apologising to anybody. I wasn't
feeling
bad.
That's what I'll be doing when I go to Sydney.
Yeah.
Yes.
Emails in the morning and then that's it.
That's why I don't understand people that love Wi-Fi on planes. I mean, the whole point of getting on a plane is to get away from, you know, Wi-Fi and
the Wi-Fi,
email.
Sorry. And also the Wi-Fi on planes is so bad that it takes you 45 minutes to send one email. You might as well just
Then all you do is go, I am emailing you from the plane.
How cool is this?
Might not be able to respond because I'm not sure if it's gone through. I know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more for it. I do think that you know, we are all far too addicted to our phones. But I think, again, like everything else, it's when people get a bit preachy about it, you know, don't, you know.
Should I give her her phone back then?
You're being a responsible parent.
No, I might.
That's slightly different. But.
Oh, I need you to come around. I wish I could be as hard ass as you. I need you to come around.
I just chuck it somewhere and then, this is quite a show. I'm not in the good books. I will obviously give it back to you someday soon.
Yeah.
She's quite scary.
When she's 30. Are soon.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Is it just me, Rosemary Ferguson, James Williams? Please tell me it isn't, but I suspect my husband says it is just me, who never reads instruction manuals.
What is this instruction manual you speak of? What is this thing?
I don't see the
RTFM
point.
That gets read the fucking manual. It's a code that's bandied around my house.
Oh,
quite
really?
A lot. Yes, because after the fact, obviously.
Yeah.
Then it's like RTFM when you.
We had a situation the other night where something went wrong and our freezer drawer just would not shut. It just wouldn't shut. Something had misaligned. We spent ages unpacking it, like breaking our necks, getting down the back of it, trying to figure it out. Ross finally went to the basement and spent 15 minutes fishing out the instruction manual. And I just thought, well, that's going to be a load of balls. What is going to be in there?
What waste of
and,
time.
I mean, I didn't have the patience to look for the manual. I didn't certainly didn't have the patience to find the right page. And he did. And he fixed the freezer.
I mean, it does work.
Oh. Makes you think, doesn't it?
That does.
I mean, yeah. It's a light bulb moment.
That's
right
shocking.
They really know what
I
they're
was
doing.
For calling the 90 quid an hour emergency plumber.
Yeah, but that's.
I mean, I don't even know what he was going to do.
That's my default thing. I'll throw some money at it. Yeah.
But
also, don't make me read.
Yeah. But it's the psychological trauma of not exactly knowing where the manual is.
Yeah.
I think that's where it starts, isn't it? It's like, I actually don't know where the manual is. I'm not sure. So do I even go down that rabbit hole looking for it?
I think there's two things at play here, isn't there? There's that initial when you get something, it's just that winging it. I don't know. Is it like just throwing yourself off like a bungee jump? Just, oh, we could do this. Come on. Let's have fun with it.
My mum would have done something. I swear to God, my mum would have been in that freezer with a hammer, just banging a few things to see what happened.
I was going
to
say, did you not get your
I
foot
wouldn't
on
do
it.
That, but I'm kind of more in that sort of bull in a china shop school of thought when it comes to sort
kick now and then panic later.
Make sure you've really broken it before you call the man.
And then there's that, but then, I mean, but isn't it weird? I know what you mean, but I'm not that person. I'm not a Ross person. But on the one rare occasion where I have actually gone, no, don't reach for the yellow pages, showing my age there. But, you know, don't basically reach for Google, trying to find somebody to come and help you. Try and solve it yourself. Look for the manual. On the rare occasion I have done it and then solved it, the sense of accomplishment is, wow, I fixed that.
I have never in my life
achieved
that nirvana. I have never... ever in my life. I can't even, I don't know. I need a PA to work out how to get my phone started. Like when I get a new phone, someone else deals with it.
Well, I do too.
I was talking to somebody the other day about this because they've just recently bought a house and they're buying furniture and they said to me, oh, you know, where's good places to go? Where'd you get your stuff from? Blah, blah. And I gave them a couple of places. And then they did sort of email me, go, oh, it's quite expensive. And I'm going, well, you know, I think the problem is it's a bit like, you know, IKEA, you know, you want to go up a level now. IKEA was it's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're looking, it's your house, your first house, your forever house. You know, I believe in investing a little bit more. Anyway, they sucked up the cost. They bought it. And then literally they rang me up. They were like, oh my God, it's all arrived in one piece. I'm like, what do you mean? They're going, I didn't have to like assemble anything. I'm going, that's what you're paying for. Don't you understand? IKEA made a fortune from selling you cheap furniture, but the payoff is you had to assemble it. And then I go, literally, they had no idea that extra level of cost. And then I go, if I'd known this, I'd have been
I can really imagine their like, wildness.
Their mind was totally blown by the fact that their bedside...
opened up.
Their bedside table arrived fully formed with legs. They were like... oh my God, they wept.
See, I'm not being such an asshole because I remember my first IKEA thing arriving and thinking, you what? Sorry, what?
Like, what, everybody's flat and, then, and you're like, no, I ordered a whole dresser.
Looking at the instructions for 20 seconds and going, nah. Handing it to the husband.
Yeah. But can't you get a man that can who comes with it, don't you? Can't you?
You can, I think you can.
To assemble it for you, I think.
I did ask my husband to write down how to do things like the heating and all that stuff before he dies. And he refused. Because I'm telling you, if God forbid, if the worst happens to Ross, you will find me rocking back and forth in a corner of that house, not even knowing how to get Netflix on the telly.
Honestly. And God forbid changing the time on the boiler when the clocks change and all that kind of stuff.
I don't even know where my boiler is.
No,
and I'm not lying. Yeah.
But you know, everything now is so high tech. So when we did our house, we were like, yeah, we just want light switches. Oh no, we've got scene settings. So when one of the switches breaks, we have to get the guys back to change.
Like, how to change a light bulb in those sort of like embedded in the ceiling spotlights.
They just go out,
I don't know how to do that.
I worry about those because I've got those in my bathroom and I've been there 2.5 years and they've never gone. And I keep going, what happens when they blow? Because I've literally got no idea how I change the light bulb.
I have seen Ross get like a sprockety thing and suction it out.
I believe that's a technical term, the sprockety thing.
The sprockety thing.
And suction
it
out.
Yeah. I think
what,
that's
like
what happened.
Sucker?
Yeah.
How the hell
like
have we How the hell have we actually got to this point in our lives where we literally can't do any of these?
Anyone and we won't read an instruction manual. We are truly screwed.
I mean, anyone listening to this be amazed to know that I'm sitting here with trousers on.
I can confirm Joe is wearing trousers.
She's been a very lucky pair.
She's winning at life today. She actually got dressed.
Yeah.
No, but do you think as well it's a sort of a hangover or a hark back to being forced to learn at school and being forced to read? And so when you're basically given a flat pack piece of furniture and you've got an instruction manual, it's like, oh, boring, I don't want to read.
I just think there's just too much fine print everywhere. You can't even click on a website anymore without having how they're going to mine your data explained.
Yeah,
and I'm overwhelmed. Stop putting information in front of my eyes. I can't do it anymore. That's where I am with it.
That's true, but also impatient. I'm really impatient.
Yeah,
so the idea of spending that 15 minutes, which probably saves you 3 hours of reading the instruction manual, I'm just like, oh no.
Thank God for a calm, rational man.
But I will say this, when it comes to cooking, the best tip I ever got was to actually read the recipe all the way through before starting.
Oh, ridiculous. Do you know what's interesting
that
actually about that?
That seems crazy.
It seems absolutely mad. Yeah. No, but then also when you start writing recipes, you realise how hard it is to write a recipe that actually works. Because you're like, chuck. And I get comments all the time going, well, that doesn't work. Because how many exactly do you mean of this, that and the other? And you're like, oh, surely it's obvious. Did you not? I don't know. You know, it's sort of funny. You realise how many holes there are in your thinking that you put on.
Yeah,
paper.
You need to test it with. Well, that's why we have sub-editors. That's what they're good at.
Yes, that's why I need a sub-editor.
Yeah.
But that's what. So with the instruction manuals, maybe the people at IKEA didn't think it through. Like, maybe they need to talk to us.
Yeah.
And we'll say, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Very layman.
And every now and again, just put in an extra screw just to really mess with your head when you've put it all together and then there's like,
there's one missing screw. Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we're not alone in this. If you are sitting at home or sitting anywhere listening to us and you agree totally with us on this subject, do drop us a line. We love hearing from you guys.
Also, I know I'm an idiot. You don't have to tell me that. I know.
Yeah, save that.
Queuing up on Twitter.
Yeah, take that directly to Joe on Instagram and Twitter. Tell her she's an idiot directly. Don't come to the is it just me podcast at gmail.com email.
I'm well aware already.
We just want to hear lovely things on that email. But do get in touch. Send us your thoughts and also do send us any of your Is It Just Me's. And we will give you a shout out on a future show. But that's it for this week. Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely.
What should I have for lunch today?
Oh, I don't know. What did you have for breakfast?
I had porridge and blueberries, if you don't mind.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Do you know
Gold star for Elvis.
I know.
I don't know. I'd go to Whole Foods. You've got Whole Foods around the corner.
Oh.
Are you sick of it?
It's like the couple of days before payday.
I was going
to
say,
you have to give them a kidney.
As one of my friends, as one of my friends' dads calls it, whole paycheck.
Yeah.
Oh, I do love it, but I mean,
yeah.
I have to drop my pants for food today if I go in there.
Well,
so yeah. He's got them on, keep
them on. Exactly. And on that lovely mental picture, thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you so much.
See you again soon. And thanks everyone for joining us. And we will see you again soon too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.